Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
You don't leave, logically, you don't leave 99 to go after the stupid one that wandered off. But that's not the heart of our good shepherd. Our good shepherd seeks and goes after those who are lost. So what does that mean? It means that the person who's listening to me right now, but the person who is in the greatest need, the person who feels like they've blown it the worst, is the person whom the Lord is most interested in.
Have you ever thought about how much God actually loves and cares for you? In today's edition of Burning Hearts, Pastor Michael talks about how God's love for us is never ending. We often hear the metaphor of God leaving the 99 sheep for the one that was lost, but in reality, that is what God does. He loves us so much that He desires to be with us for eternity. He cares so much for us that He sent His Son to die in our place. God will always be there for you, no matter how lost you are. Now, here's Pastor Michael in the book of Genesis chapter 16 as he begins his message, The God Who Sees.
So just to kind of catch you up, in case you weren't here, Genesis chapter 16, we went through, last time I was preaching, we went through the first five verses where basically this is what's happened. There's a guy named Abram. He's about to have his name changed to Abraham in the next chapter. But God has given Abram and his wife, at the age of 75, he gave them a promise and said, you're going to have children. And they're like, what? We're 75. Come on. Those days are past. And God's like, no, it's going to happen. As a matter of fact, you're going to have so many children, they're going to be like the stars in the sky. And so Abram's 75, his wife is 65. So what happens is 12 years go by and they don't have any kids. And so they begin to do what I think a lot of us probably would do, and that is doubt that maybe God wasn't serious or maybe they heard wrong or whatever. So what they do is they sort of go into this mode to make things happen on their own. And although it sounds kind of whack to us, in that culture, it was a normal thing, I guess, for if you couldn't have children, your maidservant could be with your husband and that child would be credited to you. And so that's what Sarai, her name is going to be changed to Sarah, but Sarai comes up with this idea. We've given God 12 years. It's taken too long. So Abe, I'm going to let you sleep with her maidservant. Her main maidservant's name was Hagar. So they sleep, and we read in the first five verses that Hagar became pregnant. And as soon as that happened, there became this animosity between Sarai and now her maidservant. I don't know if Sarai's jealous, probably. Hagar's maybe upset that she's going to have to give up her baby, and it's going to be someone else's. So that's sort of where we left off last time and in verse five. In a message, what I'm going to call today is that the God who sees. We're going to see in this chapter, it is one of probably, and I know I say this a lot, but this is probably one of my top 10 stories in the Bible. I love this story. And I'm calling it the God who sees, because how many of you know, no matter what you're going through, we have a God who sees. He sees right exactly where I'm at. I think he sees what I'm feeling, the attack that may be coming on or whatever. And you know, God has a lot of characteristics that are really cool and groovy and all that, but the idea that God sees me even when I'm at my lowest or when I've blown it the worst is a cool idea to me. There was some great theologians, a band by the name of The Police, and they wrote these theological jewels I want to read to you. Listen to this. Every breath you take, every move you make, every bond you break, every step you take, I'll be watching. You guys know these theologians. That's great. Every single day, every word you say, every game you play, every night you stay, I'll be watching you. Oh, can't you see? You belong to me. How my poor heart aches with every step you take, every move you make, and every vow you break, every smile you fake, every claim you stake, I'll be watching you. How many of you just could sing that right now? Isn't that a great song? It's one of my favorite songs. And I know it's about, apparently, a stalker, but I think, when I've heard that song before, and I really do love that song, I love everything about it, I have thought before, like, what if, that's like God singing to Michael. Like, I love that, you know, Michael, every smile you fake, man, Every vow you break, bro, I'm watching you. And it's not like I'm watching you, so when you mess up, I'm going to take you out. It's not that. It's like, I see you, Michael. I see where you're at and when you're hurting. Or I'm there. You know, the Bible tells us that we have a God who never leaves us and never forsakes us. Amen? He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and we know those things. But I think it's good to come to church every once in a while and be reminded of how good our God is. Amen? So we are going through Genesis, and sometimes people will say, why would you go through such an old book and everything? I believe every story in these Old Testament books point us to Jesus Christ. And so, man, this is something that just, again, one of my top 10 right here. So Sarai is mad at Hagar. She's mad at her husband for some reason, even though it was her idea to do this. Women. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. We're going to pick it up in verse 6. I'm going to edit that out. So if you watch this later, that won't be there. All right. Abram replied to Sarai, "Here, your slave is in your hands. Do whatever you want with her." Then Sarai mistreated her. That's Hagar, her maidservant. Sarai mistreated her so much that she ran away from her. So again, it was Sarai's idea. But now she's upset, and Abram, being the mighty man of God that he is, yeah, just go ahead and do whatever you want with her. And so she begins to mistreat her. I will tell you, I looked up that word mistreat in the original language. It's used a few other times in the Old Testament, and I will tell you, it is a disgusting word. It's easy to read that verse and sort of let it go in one ear and out the other ear, like, yeah, she mistreated her, and she ran away. You have to understand, the other time I saw that word being used is in the book of Judges, where this man, it's a long, gross story. I'm not even totally sure why it's in the Bible, but I will tell you the story is this man has his wife, his concubine, and he has to stay in another man's house. And while he's in there, all this gang of men from that town come in and they want to have relations with the man. And so the host of the home is saying, you can't do this. He's under my roof. He's under my protection. In that culture, you can't touch him. But you can have his concubine, his wife. So they throw her out there to this mob of men, and all night long, they abuse her physically and sexually. Until the next morning, the Bible says, she collapses on the doorpost with her hands on the threshold, and she dies. That's the word used here for mistreat. It's not like she just treated her bad and, you know what I mean? She stopped calling me. No, it's not that. We're talking serious mistreatment that's going down here. So much so that Hagar, pregnant, we're told in verse 5, I think, she books it. She's out, okay? She's leaving. Now look what happens, verse 7. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring. That's her. That's Hagar. She's run away. The angel of the Lord found Hagar by a spring, literally a well in the wilderness. The spring on the way to Shur. So real quick here, the way to Shur, if you look that up, that was a famous roadway on the way to Egypt. Okay. So what does that tell us? It tells us this, that Hagar's freaked out. She's abused and she's running away. Where is she running to? She's running back to Egypt. She's running back to where she came from. Egypt, Bible scholars will tell you this all over the world. People that have studied the Bible, they'll tell you Egypt all throughout the Bible is a type. It's a picture of this world. So here you have Hagar leaving the family of faith, okay? The family, I say that because Abraham is called the father of the faith. Whether you're a Christian, if you're into Judaism, if you're even in the Islamic religion, everybody calls Abraham the father of the faith. So you have Hagar leaving the family of faith, running back to the old life, back to the world. And what happens? She gets interrupted at this well, at this spring, by what we're told is the angel of the Lord. Now, all throughout the Bible, there's stories of angels that appear, okay? Angel, literally in Hebrew, it means sent, or the one who has been sent, okay? In my mind, when I picture an angel, I picture some buffed out dude with long flowing hair, looks like Fabio, with big wings, and is all purpose cheered, dyed white robe on or whatever, you know, that's what I picture, okay? But we have no idea what the angels really look like. That's just what we've drawn up. But here, very specifically, we're told the angel of the Lord. Now, Angels show up all throughout the Bible, but every once in a while you see this little description, the angel of the Lord. And what you find is that the angel of the Lord seems to be drastically different than a normal angel. And I think this is important for us to understand. Normal angels, we're told all throughout the Bible and so many scriptures, Exodus chapter 20, Exodus chapter 34, Deuteronomy chapter 5, 2 Kings chapter 17. We are told we are not to worship anything other than God alone. That includes angels. So every once in a while, you'll see an angel will show up in the Bible. Someone will try to worship and the angel will go, nope, time out. Don't worship me. Except when you see this phrase, the angel of the Lord. In two cases, with Joshua and with Moses, we see them bow down to worship and the angel doesn't stop them. The angel of the Lord doesn't stop them. He receives their worship. Okay? So there's some, that's what I'm trying to get at. This character that is showing up to Hagar, who's bloodied and bruised and hurting and running away back to the world, away from the family of faith, is interrupted by this very strange character, the angel of the Lord. Okay, there's some different things, attributes about this too. In verse 10, we're about to read it. Hagar looks at this character and she calls it Lord. Okay, she calls it Lord. In verse 10, the angel of the Lord actually says, I will greatly multiply your offspring. Now, I don't know about you, angels don't multiply offspring. That's a God thing. Are you with me? Okay, and then she calls him Lord in verse 13. Well, so what's going on here? What's the big deal, Michael? Why are you making such a big deal about this? This is why it's a big deal. If only God can receive worship, okay? And by the way, in Revelation, the last book of the Bible, chapter 1, at the very beginning, Jesus shows up and John, the apostle, falls on his face to worship Jesus. Guess what? Jesus doesn't stop him. It's a famous passage. Jesus reveals himself as the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega and all that. So who can receive worship? God and Jesus, okay? Which we know God and Jesus are the same. John chapter 10, verse 30 tells us, Jesus said it himself, I and the Father are one. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, about there, it tells us that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. They are the same. So who can receive worship? Jesus, God, that's it. No angel. So we see that happening throughout the Bible. Here is the very first instance in the entire Bible that this phrase, the angel of the Lord, is being used. Okay? Michael, what's the big deal? Here's the big deal. Please catch this. I believe strongly that this angel of the Lord is an appearance of the second person of the Trinity in the Old Testament. Theologians will call this, not the police, but real theologians will call this a theophany or a Christophany. It's an appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament before he appeared on the planet as the babe of Bethlehem. Every once in a while, you'll see this happened. Okay, Joshua's marching to the Jericho to knock down the walls of Jericho, and this angel of the Lord appears, okay, and stops him and tells him, gives him instructions about doing it seven times. You see this every once in a while. I'm a strong believer. Now, if you've been listening to me preaching through Genesis, you know about a couple months ago, we were talking about a character named Melchizedek that showed up. And I told you, I strongly believe that, because a lot of people believe that is Jesus. And I believe, no, it's not. I think Melchizedek is somebody totally different. But here I am saying, this angel of the Lord, I think it's Jesus. What's the big deal? Here's the big deal. How like Jesus to show up for the very first time in the entire Bible, he shows up to who? A woman. Not a man. In our culture, you know, we don't see the big difference. In this culture, huge difference. Huge difference that he would show up to a woman who is not even seeking God. She's not even a God follower in any stretch of the imagination. She's a woman who's been bruised and battered and absolutely abused on her way back to the old life, back to Egypt. Jesus shows up for the first time ever to her. How like him. You know, in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus is talking about how he's a good shepherd. And he gives this story about how a shepherd left the 99, remember, to go after one. Right? You guys have seen the picture. White, pale Jesus with the lamb over his shoulders. The baby blue sash. He leaves the 99. Gang, let me tell you something. That doesn't make sense to us, man. You don't leave, logically, you don't leave 99 to go after the stupid one that wandered off. But that's not the heart of our good shepherd. Our good shepherd seeks and goes after those who are lost. Wow. So what does that mean? It means that the person who's listening to me right now, but the person who is in the greatest need, the person who feels like they've blown it the worst, is the person whom the Lord is most interested in. Do you hear what I'm saying? You can be totally jacked up, and God's interested in you. You might have grown up in church and heard the story 50,000 times, yet you still live like hell. God's interested in you. God wants you. He desires you. He loves you. I think it's really interesting, you guys, and this is one of the reasons why it's one of my favorite stories. I think it's really interesting that Hagar is running away from the family of faith because they were treating her harshly for something that she didn't even do wrong. It's not like she had a lot of choice. If you're missed, if you're, your boss says, you have to sleep with my husband, in those days, you had no choice. So she did nothing wrong. She's absolutely mistreated by who? By the family of faith. And she runs away. I wonder if that still happens today. Answer, yes. Answer, yes. Unfortunately, gang, Christians are sort of notorious for hurting each other. And I'm sorry that that happens. And it's sad that it happens, but it happens. Here you have this woman been abused. And it's not just Sarai. The Bible tells us in the very first verse, Abram's like, yeah, whatever you want to do, just do it. Dude, you're the priest of your home. You're the leader of this tribe. You're the father of the faith. You're the one God's given the promise to. And you just say abuser? Leaders in the church throughout history have notoriously hurt people and allowed hurt to happen. Right now, are you following the news? What's going on in the Catholic situation? And it's not just Catholics, by the way. It's all any denomination. You've got people abusing, and it's hurting people. And you know what we see today? We're seeing a mass number of people run away back to the world, away from the church. And you start asking them why, and you start hearing stories that'll make you sick. It's a bummer. And can I just say right now, once and for all, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry that that's happened. As a Christian, I apologize. I look in the mirror, and I'm sure I've done that with people. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. There's a new movie coming out. I just saw it. It's just coming out. It's all about the Hillsong Church in Australia. It's the biggest church in the world, and they have one in New York and everything. And 2 years ago, the pastor in New York, who was Justin Bieber's pastor, is sleeping with this woman. He's got a beautiful wife and two kids. Doesn't matter. The whole church blew up. Now the guy in Australia, he's resigned, and they're making a movie about it. Okay, and I just saw the trailer literally yesterday. I'm gonna tell you something. The church is being attacked, and unfortunately, we're the idiots that are making it happen. Because of our sin and our not being filled with God's Spirit. I'm getting off my notes, I'm sorry. Not at the Alpine Chapel. We're perfect. Let me keep going, I'm sorry. So the angel says to Hagar, he says, Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from? And where are you going? These are interesting questions. I want to leave this up here for a minute. These two questions, very interesting. Where have you come from? It's the first thing he says to her. And where are you going? People that are seeking to walk away from God and they want to point the finger at the church or somebody that's hurt them, before you do that, I think it'd be really wise for all of us to ask ourselves these two questions. Where exactly are you coming from? And where exactly are you going? Well, I'm coming from a place where the people were mean and they were bullies and they hurt my feelings and they said this about my mom and whatever, okay? And so they have all these things. The question is, but where are you really coming from? Because we were never supposed to have our eyes on man. We were supposed to be looking at Jesus. Of course, men are gonna let you down. Where are you coming from? Were you coming from a place where there's some people up on the stage and they're the ones that your faith is based on? Is that really where you're coming from? No. Think about where you're coming from. Yeah, but she's Sarai. She's the mother of the faith. I mean, she's every. Where are you coming from? And by the way, where are you going? You're going to go back to the world? You think showing up as a pregnant woman in Egypt where everybody is sleeping around and abusing everybody, you think that's going to be better for you? You know, the Bible says, it's in Proverbs chapter 14, it says that there's a way that seems right to men, but in the end it leads to death. Like, Hagar, you think this is right for you, but in the end it's going to be destructive for you. Where are you going? Like, is it really going to be better than where you're at right now? Let me tell you something. I'm sorry people have hurt you, but God won't hurt you. I'm sorry that that woman let you down. God will never let you down. Like, I think we need to be saying this to each other. We got to get our eyes off of each other. I can have a bad day. You can have a bad day. We must be those that walk in forgiveness. Like, over and over and over, we're told, turn the other cheek. I mean, how many times? What? Forgive one another. Jesus said, if you don't forgive them, people that sin against you, how is my Father going to be able to forgive? This is a big deal to God. We are going to let you down. Here's a clue. God will never let you down, bro. He'll never hurt you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. I'm so sorry for the people that have, but that ain't God. Amen? So, goes on, verse 8. He asked these important questions, and she replied, I'm running away from my mistress Sarai. The angel of the Lord, notice how many times the angel of the Lord is mentioned in this passage, by the way. So it's just the angel. This is Jesus. I cannot believe he says this next line. The angel of the Lord said to her, go back to your mistress and submit to her authority. Whoa, time out. You understand that she's treating me unjustly, right? You understand she's not acting godly, right? Yeah. Yeah, please hear me. Go back and submit to her authority. Interesting. The angel of the Lord, again, it says to her, I will greatly multiply your offspring and they will be too many to count. The angel of the Lord said to her, you have conceived and you will have a son. You will name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your cry of affliction. This man will be like a wild donkey. His hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand will be against him. He's going to sit all near his mouth. Basically what the angel of the Lord is doing here is he's depositing hope into her. Say, listen, you are pregnant. It's going to be Ishmael. The kid's going to have some trouble. I get it. But you're going to be blessed. You're going to have a lot of kids. Hagar, you got to go back. You got to go back. You know, this whole thing that we talked about a few weeks ago when I was preaching in a message I called contentious or content. And I told you that contentious in Hebrew is translated Sarai, which is really interesting. Sarai came up with this idea to have Hagar sleep with her husband. It's her idea. She's upset. Why did she come up with that idea? Talked about it a little bit, but please, I got to revisit this. She came up with the idea because she was trying to help God out. 12 years is a stinking long time. For me personally, 12 minutes is a long time. God, let's go. Hello, what time is it? Are you almost done? Let's go. 12 stinking years. I thought you told Abe that we were going to have kids. Like, we're being intimate a lot. What's going on? So what does she do? She's going to make something happen. She's going to help God out with this plan. Man, how often I do that. You know what she's doing? She's being expedient. What does expedient mean? Something done or a method used to achieve an aim quickly. She's being expedient, she's not being obedient. Rather than seeking God with her husband and saying, God, it's been a long time, you know, where are you? What's going on? Rather than being obedient to what God says, she wants to be expedient. And I was thinking about that. Even though culturally it was a norm, okay? Logically, it probably made sense to do this. Spiritually, it was all wrong because she failed to seek the Lord. She wasn't seeking the Lord, seeking to be expedient rather than being obedient.
Our time with you today on Burning Hearts is coming to a close, but that doesn't mean you have to stop studying the Word. Take some time today to review the passage from the book of Genesis or turn to another book in the Bible. There's so much to learn from Scripture, and we're glad you've chosen to study it with us. If you missed any part of today's teaching or want to explore more of Pastor Michael's message, head on over to our website, thealpinechapel.com. If you're in the Telluride area and would like to come visit us this weekend, we'd love to have you do so. The Alpine Chapel meets every Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 9 a.m. to worship, learn from the Bible, and just enjoy being together as a family of faith. If you're curious about any unknowns before you come, look under the menu at thealpinechapel.com and find I'm New Here FAQs. There's some helpful information there for you. Again, that website is thealpinechapel.com. An easy way to get in touch with us for any questions or comments is by going to the contacts page. You can send us an email with anything you're wondering about, or if you just want to get in touch, be sure to let us know you've been listening to Burning Hearts. And you can also share with us what you've been learning from the teachings. You can also submit prayer requests that you feel comfortable sharing. Although our time with you today has come to an end, we're thankful that you've tuned in. And we look forward to the next edition, right here on Burning Hearts.